Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, another headline-packed week in golf. We had Tiger's return at the Riv. John Rahm rolls back to the top of the throne. The LPGA is going global. And we binged the Netflix Full Swing doc and have takes to get to. Plus, we're tuned into a couple rom-coms and a British Bake Off update from Mike. And this week's guest, we have country music star Mitch Rosell joining us. Really great interview I had at the PGA show floor. He's buddies with a guy named Garth Brooks, who he went on tour with. You may have heard of him. We get into his music and everything going on with his life and golf game as well. And it's some burger talk and a V-Day disaster when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. You know the story behind Desert Fox Golf. It's the guys in Arizona that created the phone caddy. They created the Swing 8 tumblers and a lot more to come soon. Not only the cigar holder, which is their new release, but there are some other product coming from the Desert Fox family later on as 2023 rolls on. So be sure to check everything out that they do with the phone caddy and beyond at desertfoxgolf.com and desertfoxproducts.com. Our promo code's Course of Life, as always. Promo code Course of Life to save 10% off Desert Fox Golf.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Voris Golf. I'm Michael. He's Alex. And Alex, Tiger's red was back because he made the cut at Riviera thanks to the cut line falling down to him. It's like stars aligned. The Genesis Invitational, his marquee event where he almost lost his leg a couple years ago. He returned. He has never won at Riviera or at the Genesis.
That streak is still alive, too.
Still going strong. Pretty remarkable considering all the things he has achieved. He has never won here, which is where he also debuted as a PGA Tour pro all those years ago.
I don't know if this is so much about maybe getting number 83 for him. I think it was just the idea of like getting that vengeance on where this horrible near-death accident occurred. It's like kind of going back to the scene of the crime, being like, no, I'm going to redo this week. And things are going to be okay. So from that perspective, I guess, it was nowhere near win number 83. But hell, Mike, he made the weekend at Riviera. It's pretty impressive overall. And the Saturday 67 was definitely the highlight.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger played pretty well. I mean, he had some flashes there. He had some good rounds throughout the week. And of course, everyone, you know, we talk about his post-round press conferences, and he seems much more relaxed on the course, and he's very aware of what he's capable of doing these days, though I think it's still interesting to see because he still certainly has the mindset, I think, that if he goes into a tournament, he's going into a tournament to win. But he also recognizes his body can't do it anymore, so he's only going to try to do the four majors a year, and that's the goal from now on. But I am just going to say, I'm sick and tired of this. We've known this for the last 6 months, that this is what we're going to get out of him. It's Tiger Woods. I don't think he's ever going to win again. I've said it before. I'm going to keep saying it. I don't think he's ever going to win again.
And I don't hate that take. And honestly, I think he's kind of slow playing us with just the four majors thing, because he's saying that at the Genesis Invitational. And there's still another month or two before the Masters here, where I'm not counting out the idea of him coming and paying one last visit to Austin, Texas, Mike, here for the match play 2 weeks before the Masters. It's a tournament he came to once and got to the quarterfinals in. You don't have to play 18 holes each day because of the nature of match play. Could be a nice soft prep for Augusta. So, like, you know, he's saying all these things about how he's only this guy and it's the four majors, but like, I don't know. I get the feeling he's going to try and peg it like as much as possible if the leg allows. And there's maybe weeks where he says he's going to, and then by Wednesday he doesn't. I think that could happen more often than not, or Thursday, Friday withdrawals, like we've seen to be somewhat of the norm for him in recent years. But I don't know. I think he's slow playing us a little bit. And you're right about that take with the four majors. I don't know. Just it seems like there's something else to behold there. And Tiger's certainly not done playing, even if his legs are telling him he is.
So while Tiger was maybe stealing a lot of storylines, the PGA Tour continued to have just marquee events and just everything we want storylines to be as a PGA Tour fan and podcast in 2023. So John Rahm, let's talk about John Rahm.
Yeah.
His first 60 days of 2023, top seven in all five starts, three wins, 93 under par in 20 rounds, 67.1 scoring average, best or tied 601 players, lost to only eight players and has earned $9 million. And finally, the OWGR has caught up that he is the best golfer in the world. And with his win, he now is the number one ranked golfer, taking over from Scottie Scheffler, who somehow got it back. But I'm just still disappointed that Max Homa, who battled him through those 18 holes on Sunday, is not like anywhere closer to the top five. He's like number seven or something in the rankings, I think. He should be like the number three golfer in the world right now.
Maybe quite technically in terms of who's playing the hottest and the best in the last 90 days. Yeah, but that OWGR, it's just stretched out over such a long period of time. And that's why you're seeing the retread of that big three that I've been bringing up a lot in recent weeks. It's Rory, it's Rahm, it's Scheffler. Those guys are going to play hot potato with the number one ranking for seemingly the next 6, 9, 12 months, as has been the pattern in recent months. And I think those three guys have combined for somewhere close to, if not more than half of the PGA Tour event victories in like the last 12 months or so. So it's breaking through that threshold of one of those three guys for Max Homa if he's going to get there. But yeah, impressive to see Max Homa again on the leaderboard, giving Rahm a run. But John Rahm, too tough down the stretch, made the putts that he needed to on some tricky Riviera greens. And he's on top, but there's no way to really definitively say who's on top right now, because all three of those guys I just mentioned are all humming pretty well right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year with the three of them battling it out for sure.
Great lead up in the spring. Think about Florida, match play, Masters to the majors. Like, it's just having those pinnacle names already this time of year. Like that's what we all want.
Yeah, my question. So I have a couple different questions I'm going to ask after this week. And that is, I'm going to sneeze. So I'm going to start that again, or I'm not going to sneeze.
Oh, wow. Great sand save there. No sneezy there? Wow.
No sneezy. Let's just keep going. We'll just keep this in the podcast.
So I love that.
We'll hear the natural.
Right up and down, by the way. Nice.
All right. So the Masters. Let's go by the majors here.
I've heard of it. Yep.
Okay. John Rahm for the Masters? Or Rory or Scheffler?
Well, I mean, Rory to complete the career Grand Slam, it just feels so fitting every year, but never comes to fruition. So why not Scottie Scheffler back-to-back at Augusta?
Why not?
Okay. How about Scheffler Masters? I'll roll. I'll get a step ahead of you here.
PGA,
John Rahm. We'll slot that in.
Okay. Yep.
And then we heard this from Jim Nantz about a month or so ago. Max Homa, LA Kid, LA Country Club.
I was going to say
US Open.
Max Homa, I think it's obviously a storyline we all want to see.
And then Cam Smith comes back from the LIV Tour and defends his title at the Open Championship.
Ooh, against Rory again.
Yeah, I think so, because you know how much Rory loves those Opens. There it is. I just predicted the four majors, so we're gonna pin that one down from mid February right there, and we'll see what happens.
I completely agree with what you just said too. If I
you
was
like that
to
layout,
pick any
right?
of those, yeah, I don't know if I pick Cam Smith to win the Open. I think
that's
that he's
just me being a live troll at the end of the day. I know. Mike. That's
it
what
really
that is.
Yeah. It really is. So who wins the FedEx Cup at the end of the season?
Well, man, geez, if Cam Smith can just get into one or two more events, he'll have a chance, right? no, he will not. Let's see who early call probably be Scottie Scheffler there.
Okay.
Pick up FedEx,
yeah. Okay. All right, so that was the genesis. Let's talk about Full Swing. It dropped on Wednesday evening. The first episode actually dropped during the Super Bowl, the Netflix docuseries on golf. I'm going to share a hot take for a second.
Exciting.
I thought it was good, but at the same time, I was kind of eh.
You and I knew about 97-98% of the information shared there.
Yes, and I have to say, I was really annoyed that every single episode we shared, like, golf is unique. Let 120 guys tee it up on Thursday, and if they aren't in the top 64 by the end of the day on Friday, they don't get paid. It's like, okay, you could say that the first week or so because it's a new audience, but after that, just let it go.
They said that more times than they said that par is the a desired score in a hole. Like that they said that more than that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're very obsessed with the cut line. Yes. They love that, the Friday trunk slam, as I like to affectionately call it. Yeah. So that was interesting. Hot takes episode by episode, just rolling through. Obviously episode one featured JT and Spieth. We know that buddy friendship. They called it frenemies. It's been a long time coming. The favorite there was obviously the $1,000 game they play on the private plane, where you get to just guess a card in the deck. And if you hit it, you win. That's just like a fun little lottery game. You play back and forth with your rich friends and the player.
Why weren't we gifted with that kind of natural talent to be able to play $1,000? You know, guess what, Mike? Guess the card
I have a surprise for you. Next time you and I get together, I'm going to let you play that game once with me. I want that.
For $1,000?
One guess.
I don't have that kind of money, man.
All right, I'm just letting you play. You get one free roll. We don't get that much here.
I love our friends at Desert Fox and Voris. We don't get paid enough from them to do that.
So that was episode one there, the full swing. Two, let's get into Brooks Koepka, who tries to act like he's this alpha male that just kind of shows up and just golf is whatever.
I don't even know who won the Masters.
Deep down, when the cameras are rolling and you see him behind the scenes, you see that he really, really does care about him, his performance, his image on the course, how he's playing. And it was absolutely eating him up as the cameras were rolling during a really tough time in his career.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that episode with Brooks and Scotty and the dichotomy they showed, and the one with Ian Poulter, where they also were showing Fitzpatrick to a certain extent and Scotty and some of the others.
Yeah.
This kind of dichotomy of players who were on the way out, whose game was starting to leave them, and the mental toughness you need to have to be able to care about your game, but be able to figure it out. And then how a guy like Scotty doesn't have a care of the world right now. He's playing great golf. Why? Well, he doesn't need to worry about anything. Everything's coming so naturally to him. And just how different it is, and how I think they didn't maybe get there all the way for me, but really showing how golf is all about finding that feeling. Professional
golf.
I will
say, as from a documentary, well said, and from a documentary standpoint, that Brooks episode, I feel like, gave us the best off course behind the scenes content of any of the episodes. We really got a very candid Brooks Koepka, and he said exactly what you just orated there very well, is that when you ask Scottie Scheffler right now what's going through his head on the course, the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing's going through his head right now on the course. He's just playing the game of golf, whereas Brooks has 7, 8 thrift swing thoughts going on at any different time. So that was very illuminating. You mentioned Ian Poulter, episode 3, the locker room meltdown and seeing Poulter pissed off. He had that very contemplative Friday lunch all by himself in the country club here in Austin, Texas, after he was eliminated from the match play and therefore the Masters. I know you just love seeing a good Ian Poulter beat down. I've seen a few of those before. So.
You know, it's the same thing with Brooks. It's unfortunate to see them kind of spiral. Especially Brooks had the best example of a spiral of this, like, I don't know what's happening. Something is wrong. Ian Poulter is maybe in the different boat where he feels like he's better than he is. He recognizes he's getting older, but he still thinks he's better than he is.
Very much in denial. Yes.
Yeah.
And wants to be paid accordingly. He said that. He said that multiple times in the episode. You need to be paid accordingly.
We all want to get paid more.
The lighthearted moment of the Full Swing documentary definitely belonged to episode 4. A guy I got to see in person last fall here in Austin, Texas at the Tito Shorties Classic. I'm talking about Joel Damon and his caddy Gino, who are a great presence not only on social media, but just in the actual world of golf. And like Joel Damon said, Mike, hey, listen, someone's got to be the 70th best golfer in the world. You know, it might as well be me, right? He's just that total carefree living life type of guy you just want to grab a burger and a drink with. And he personifies just the coolness of the PGA Tour.
He's Max Homa 6, 7 years ago.
That's a good prediction for Joel Damon, I guess. Good things are to come for him.
Because Max Homa said that, where he decided he wanted to be the number one golfer in the world. And look what's happening. Joel Damon is that example of a guy who has such pure talent, but doesn't care.
Yeah, and you saw that, and you know Max Homa and Joel Damon have those drunken conversations where Homa's had way too many beers, and he corners Damon and grabs him by the shoulders and is like, dude, you know you could, like, do this, right? Like, you totally could. And Joel's like, no. Do I really care to, though? I don't know.
You know what, though? I felt during that there were moments there was, like, just Joel doesn't seem to know. He doesn't seem to know whether he wants to be great or whether he really is happy where he is right now.
And, man, hey, Those checks for being 70th on the PGA Tour, they pay just fine, by the way.
They're still pretty good. Yeah. So,
yeah. And then you stopped at episode 5. Let's talk about Fitz at the US Open and the behind the scenes of him and his family and that connection. Remember that storyline of him winning the US Amateur in 2013 and going back to Brookline and having the win in 2022? That was amazing.
We said it, but it was, if there's anyone of that young class who hasn't won before, who's kind of due and has the best edge, it was Fitzpatrick having won there. He still looks like he's 15. I mean, it's crazy.
I know, yes.
But you know, that was really interesting to see that storyline of a guy who's so into the numbers as well and is looking at the metrics and how to improve that way versus go and work out and hit the ball. So
indeed, tracks every shot since he was 15 years old, including balls he hits at the range, Mike. Every ball he hits at the range, he tracks.
Crazy.
Nuts.
Crazy.
Nuts. Psycho. That was a little glimpse of Full Swing. I'll let you get to the rest of the series, Mike, and you can give me your thoughts on the rest of the series maybe next week. But overall, overarching thoughts, like you said at the top, is I enjoyed watching it. It is a good watch. It is very compelling content. We knew most of what we already saw. And I would say I would like about 10 to 15% more of that content off the course, at home. I really did just want to see these guys in private more. I didn't need to relive holes 14 through 18 of 7 different PGA Tour events.
Yeah. And I think it's tough to try to frame a season of golf in any way when you're following this many different players and there's so many different storylines.
They were popping back and forth in the timeline. Right. Yeah.
So each episode was about the players, the specific players they were focusing on. And the timeline just moved slightly every episode because JT and Spieth's timeline mirrored the Brooks and Scotty timeline and Miri and Poulter's timeline. And then we slowly started moving forward throughout the season. So I don't know if I love the framing as a critic.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's bad. I just don't know if I love it.
I think it's here to stay. So I'd say let's get used to it and we'll see what developments come for season 2 and beyond. So
yeah. All right, let's talk about the ladies in golf because there was a couple different things going on.
Well, okay. What do you got for me? Yeah,
let's talk about the Let Tour real quick.
Oh, nice, because, ladies in the European Tour.
Because it was a groundbreaking day out there at the Let Tour because Lydia Ko won the 2023 Aramco, and that gave her a record number of wins now. I'm forgetting the number.
Well, I think she might be at her Hall of Fame number if she's not already there too. There's like a certain number of points that players have to get to, and she's been sniffing around that for a while now. And it's just, it goes to show that her worldwide domination continues. I mean, she's one on every freaking continent there is. She's going to try her luck probably at Thailand or Singapore in the next couple of weeks here, see if she can do it there as well too. But not surprised to see her lift another trophy.
So the world number one starts off the year with a win.
Yep.
And then, we got golf in Thailand.
Which means prime time for us. We got a little Wednesday night start here, Thursday night golf, you know, a little nighttime action for the U.S. watching audience. LPGA Tour team heading over there to get the season started. Obviously, we saw the season starter in Orlando a couple of weeks back where Brooke Henderson won. Now we take it over to Asia for a couple of weeks. So Thailand and Singapore on deck. And then the season starts really kicking into overdrive. And I'll be seeing them pretty soon here in Texas come April. So excited to follow the LPGA here in the coming months.
The senior circuit as well saw the record 45 Champion Tour victories, which is set by Hale Irwin, has now been matched by German efficiency Bernhard Langer and his questionably anchored putter.
Yes, he has always faced a little bit of backlash. He's keeping it away from his belly. Okay, he claims it's away. It's not being, you know, anchored. That's what he claims. So I don't know. He's not getting called for it these days. But yeah, the Iron Man continues. I saw some snippets of this actually from Naples, Florida as well too. They're playing over at Tiburon there. Of course, you know pretty well right there at the Ritz-Carlton. So a very nice spot. And Bernhard Langer gets it done again. Like I said, he is just fairways and greens. He was absolutely just beating the field to death down the stretch on Sunday. A very impressive win at the Chubb Classic. 45 wins on the senior circuit for Bernhard Langer. Impressive stuff.
He's going to take the record. We know it. He's only 65. But
don't worry. We'll see him at the Masters pretty soon. We're about to that season. It's that time of year.
And there will be at least part of Thursday or Friday when Bernhard Langer's name is toward the top.
You're going to text me when he's one under through one. You're going to say it's happening again. I'm going to say, I know we're here. Yeah.
There you go. Let's look ahead to the Honda Classic at PGA National in the Palm Beach area. That's where the guys are headed. The Florida Swing starts down there. What do we think?
We're switching coasts here. West Coast to East Coast was the highlight of my Run Your Pool preview, Mike. You'll appreciate my articles up this week on runyourpool.com. We got the full preview for the Honda Classic. We've got a full review of the entire season of Full Swing. If you want to get more in depth of that, I put that article up. And I got a baseball betting preview, Mike. It's that time of the year. It is that time of the year. We're talking baseball already. So, yeah, Honda Classic preview is pretty straightforward, Mike. This is a grind of a course, and it's not a great field. I don't know if you took a look.
No, it's not.
But this is not a designated event. You can now quickly differentiate exactly which events are designated and which ones aren't by the quality of the field, which is headlined by Sung J.M. and Shane Lowry. That's all you need to know right there about the field this week at the Honda Classic.
I mean, those aren't bad golfers.
Yeah, they're fine in their own right. Just not necessarily the two top betting favorites you would look to put in a PGA Tour event. But nonetheless, that's where they sit. I like him out of those two. A guy that's due to play well in a course like this. This course gets tough. I think we're finally in for like a single digit under par winner. You know, when it gets windy there, Mike, we got the bear trap with the par threes and the million balls that go into the water. This is that week. So if you're into carnage, this is the tournament for you.
So Alex's picks are on his Run Your Pool article and as well on Twitter on Wednesday evening at Course of Life 1. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Alex, you know there's a new British Bake Off series that's out there.
That means you're here for the update. Tell everyone about it.
So there's Bake Off The Professionals.
Okay.
Where they're actually taking professional pastry chefs and putting them not under the tent. They're actually in a kitchen.
This is speaking to you very deeply as a pastry chef yourself.
They're giving them... Well, I'm not a pastry chef.
Oh, you are. I'm calling you
on. I'm an artisan bread baker.
There it is.
So they're giving them very complex and difficult challenges and not nearly enough time. And I have like two or three episodes left, even though I know who won because the wife watched it without me and I saw the end. So I know who wins. But it's very interesting to watch every week because it's so intricate what they're doing.
And with not enough time, Mike, are they coming up with other perverse methods to cook things faster than they need to be cooked or what?
Well, no, it's not really things maybe not cooking right. It's things not setting because they're doing a lot of mousses and jellies and things that don't set in time. And then they're making these massive showpieces let collapse.
Oh, no. We've got falling buildings.
Lots of things collapse in this show. Let's put it that way.
That's fun.
It is out there on Netflix. You can watch it. Bake Off's Professionals. We're actually watching like the 2021 season. So there's several more seasons to come here already.
Good stuff. I was tuned into a couple of rom-coms this past week. Actually, recent releases. Comparing the two, I guess. Your Place or Mine, Mike. Ashton Kutcher. Reese Witherspoon. A couple of legends of film, you know, actors and actresses respectively that I've loved lots of their work, but the two of them together, I don't know, it just didn't hit correctly for me. I would actually go with Shotgun Wedding was the one I preferred this past weekend. Josh Duhamel and Jennifer Lopez. It's a really funny wedding-based concept, and it's in a tropical location. So worst comes to worst, you're just looking at paradise for an hour and a half. So between the two, I would lean Shotgun Wedding. We'll go 3.5 stars for Shotgun Wedding and 3 out of 5 for Your Place or Mine.
Do young actors and actresses not want to do rom-coms anymore because we're just putting the mainstays of the 90s and 2000s into rom-com still?
I know, right? We're totally
George Clooney and Julia Roberts were in like two this last year.
They were. They just did one in theaters a month or two ago. Yeah, I know. We're totally retreading the stars of our youth in these rom-coms, which is why someone like me at age 35 is just eating it up now to see them in rom-coms at this age, now that I'm fully developed. So, interesting lay of the land in cinema as we're seeing all of our old favorites come back in rom-com form. But between the two, slightly into Shotgun Wedding there.
All right, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, the hits just keep coming from your couple days at the PGA show in January. And this week we have an actual hit maker, a country music star that just went on tour opening for Garth Brooks.
Yeah, Garth Brooks. You heard of him? Heard of him before?
I have. He's not on the podcast.
No, he's not. But
no offense to this week's guest.
The man who works probably more closely with Garth than anyone is. That was effort tease right there. Mm. We get into the behind the scenes of his process with Garth and everything that Mitch has done with his music. And of course, we're talking a little bit of golf as well with country star Mitch Rosell joining us this week.
We'll get to that conversation with Mitch in just a moment. But first, let's talk about our friends at Forest Golf. You hear us talk about them every week. But Alex, what's your, you know, out of their gloves with their through-touch technology, mm-hmm. their polos made of recycled materials,
yep.
and their hats, what's your favorite Vora's product to have out in the course?
I'm going to go glove one, but close second's the hat. You see me rocking that thing a lot. Mm. I just mm-hmm. wore it this past weekend to the premiere of the grand opening of Golffinity here in Austin. And I don't know, it just fits right. Feels good for workouts. Did a little pickleball in the Vora's hat yesterday. I mean, people love the V, first off. The nice bright green V. It can't be mistaken for anything else at all. There's certainly no other company in the world that makes a V checkmark like logo like Vora's does. It is the ultimate checkmark in golf. And we give the checkmark on this podcast to the golf glove first. I'll go hat two, polo three. God, I love those shirts too. Tell them about the through-touch technology and how they can save money though.
It is. They can save, everyone can save 18% off the glove, the hat, right. The polo, anything on their website with our promo code. That's COL18. Saves you 18% off anything. COL18 at their website, vorasgolf.com. That's V-O-R-A-U-S, golf, vorasgolf.com.
Yep.
Voris is German for advancement, in case you're wondering what it means. So you can experience the enhancements that they're making to the golf experience in their gloves, their hats, and their polos. Again, that's vorisgolf.com, promo code COL18.
All right, we're live from the PGA show floor. Alex with the Course Life podcast. Excited to have our next guest joining us. He's got some really cool processes, accolades, credits to his name in the country music world. And he's got a golf connection as well, too. Excited to have Mitch Rosell on the Course Life. Mitch, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. It's good to have you here. Good to see that you're doing well. I know you had a little quick health scare during the PGA show week, but just maybe one of those moments to just kind of reevaluate, say, you know, man, life's okay. I'm here walking, breathing, talking.
Yeah, I tell you, man, it was crazy. I still don't know what caused it. Feel a lot better today for sure. Awesome. Not 100%, but getting there, so.
Nice. Good to hear, man. Let's talk about golf and your connection. First off, have you been to the show before?
Do you have any? I have not, man. This is when I found out I was going to get to do this. My buddy has a booth and he's having me play a little set over here, like a happy hour thing. And I was like, dude, count me in. You got to pay me for this. I'll come down here and just look around because this is heaven for me.
Comic-Con, Disney World, yeah, for golfers, exactly. All rolled into one.
Exactly.
Festival as well.
Yeah,
my first show was last year. It was a little bit trimmed down because of the way things were, but
sure.
This year we're back to full capacity. This is the real deal that you're seeing right here.
Yeah,
so
it's legit, man.
It's just impressive to see what everyone's got in terms of equipment, fashion. The game's really trending.
Yeah, it is.
In terms of golf, earliest memories for you golfing growing up as a kid?
Yeah, so my grandfather is the one who got me into golf. I think when I was about maybe 10 or 11,
yeah,
somewhere around in there. He tried to get me into it, and I just didn't have the patience for it, you know. I played every other sport, and it was so natural to me. And golf was too, but even when golf is natural to you, it's still the hardest game in the world.
Oh, yeah, I've been working at it 25 years, and I haven't gotten too far. So.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, man, it is such a hard game. And it's like the other sports were so gratifying because I was good at them. And, you know, golf, I was decent, but, you know, it just takes a lot of work. So wasn't as fun when you were a little kid. And then thankfully, I got back into it later around 14 or 15.
Random golf question for you. Check yes or no, music on the golf course. What do you think?
For me, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
but
50-50.
I'm not saying no, like you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's what I do for a living. So I go play golf to get away from that, not to listen to more of it. So that's the only reason for me. But
Mitch Rosell here joining us.
Yeah.
That's the good perspective answer we needed for sure. Tell me, musically for you, was it always you yourself and an acoustic guitar? What was the music genesis for you growing up, and how did you get your sound to where it is today?
You know, me and an acoustic guitar is definitely a big part of my journey and a big part of my story, and still is, you know. But I didn't start playing until pretty late. It was right before college when I picked up a guitar. Oh, okay. So I was pretty late to the game. And so I got pretty comfortable with the guitar because I did a lot of shows early on when I came to Nashville. I played downtown for tips, and I ended up getting on a lot of shifts that were just acoustic shifts. So I got really comfortable doing that.
So the Thursday, Friday afternoons at the bar, you know.
Yeah, a lot of those. Yeah. And I did Friday, Saturday nights as well, but it was 6 to 10, and the bar I ended up playing at a lot, it was still like a trio acoustic thing. It was me and two other guys, and we just alternated songs.
Very cool. So I will get to the elephant in the room, which is your connection to Garth Brooks. But I'm curious, the steps that maybe you got right before the process of getting in contact with Garth, that growth in your music career, where did you kind of start to see the building blocks building on top of each other?
Yeah, I think just the time you put in, the energy you put in. It's just like anything else. You know, for me, I was never this crazy talented dude or anything. I just had worked really hard and wrote a lot of songs and threw all of them away and started over and wrote better songs and threw those away and just, you know, just worked on the process, kind of like the game of golf. You know, if you want to be good, you have to put in the time and you have to really dedicate yourself to becoming proficient at it. And so that's what I tried to do.
Definitely.
And could feel it kind of always getting better. And, you know, you just wait for that break, you know, and keep trying to put yourself in good positions.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I mentioned the name Garth Brooks and country music. It's like, geez, okay. Yeah. Jordan basketball, like Tiger Woods and golf.
Exactly.
Like, okay, great. So how did that come to be? What was the first interaction, or how did you first come across Garth?
Yeah. Crazy enough, a lot of people can't believe this, but I just sent him a blind email. I got a hold of an email address he was using to have songs pitched to him from all the publishers in Nashville. And I got a hold of that email and I sent him 4 songs and just said, hey,
who's
man.
That friend who got you that email, man?
Well, it was a guy that was working with me at the time, and his name was Josh, and
nice.
It was his wife that got the email. So kind of a long story, but yeah, so got that email address and sent him 4 songs, and for whatever reason, he just dug it. So
that's the way the world works, man. I sent some emails, and that's how I got to interview Mitch right here on the PGA Show floor. So you just, the world works through communication.
A lot smaller achievement, though, for me. Garth Brooks, I was like, I can't believe the guy even checks his email. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, right?
That is just funny. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
So I guess let's go the steps with Garth, getting the chance to write for him, I guess. Yep. What was that, probably the start of the genesis, and what was that process like when you were first able to get
into it? Yeah, it was kind of an accident, the first cut I got. I wrote it by myself, and it wasn't like I was trying to write a Garth song. It was, I just wrote a song that I loved. And so that's the first cut that I got with Garth. And then, the next few were ones that I wrote with him, which was just an amazing process to get to sit down with a guy that literally, I mean, is country music, you know, he's the GOAT. So pretty surreal.
How about his process in the studio? What's it like to you? How would you describe it?
He's very patient. Very patient. I got to play acoustic guitar on Ask Me How I Know, actually, my first single with him. And I played the intro lick and all that on it. And so I got to be in the band and experience it. It was about a 14-hour day. And we just kept doing it over and over, you know, and we'd take a break, go grab some lunch, whatever, and just kept living with it and kept, you know, trying to find the magic, you know.
It's always interesting to hear about his level of grind for the spot in his career he's at. Amount of shows he plays, in addition to hearing he's doing 14-hour studio sessions as well, still now,
dude,
after everything's done.
He's not human. The guy's he's an absolute machine. I don't know how he does it. Like, I can't keep up with him, and I mean, he's like twice my age.
Well, he asked you to keep up with him. I mean, going on tour with Garth, like, you know, that obviously blossomed from the relationship, but what was that like, getting that first experience to go on the road with him?
Dude, surreal. Yeah, I use that word a lot because it's just, you know, you say, oh, I want to live a dream, but I've literally gotten to live a fantasy. I mean, Garth Brooks was my favorite artist of all time when I moved to town, and would never even imagine I got to meet the guy, nonetheless become a buddy,
right? Maybe
and tour
maybe
with him
one day.
His hand, or not even that. I mean, like, shake his hand somewhere, you know, at a grocery store or something, you know. But yeah, to do what I've gotten to do has been pretty special.
I want to ask specifically, just because I want to get that feeling myself and live vicariously through you, the moments before you take the stage and open that venue, because we know the way he sells out largest, the biggest, the grandest venues. Take us through what's going through your brain, the 5-10 seconds right before the lights come on, your show starts.
Yeah, you know, just you're obviously a little anxious, and you're excited and a little nervous and all that. But I try to think about why I shouldn't be, which is just keeping it in perspective. As amazing and as incredible as it is, the real things that matter are, you know, I'm healthy, my family's healthy, you know, we're blessed, you know, all those things. That's what keeps you kind of, for me at least, keeps me from getting too, you know, too amped and too, you know, where I can't go out there and just be myself,
yeah.
You know, because that's really, that's the best advice he ever gave me. Just go out there and be yourself. And that's how I think people relate to you and connect to you. Just talk to them. And if you're a nervous wreck and you're too amped up, it's hard to slow down and just take in the moment. So that's really what I think about.
It is. It's that deep breath in. And I've actually started to learn to do that, like on important like tee shots that matter to me on the golf course. As lame as that sounds.
No,
like that
I do the same thing.
Center and just like I bring it all back in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if you're doing it there, it's working for you too.
Yeah, well,
let's talk about the process of writing, because when I started researching to interview you, there's a lot of background on your writing specific to your process. I'm curious, does that happen a lot while you're on the road, or do you keep that separate? Shows on the road versus writing time?
It's kind of unpredictable as far as like ideas for songs and stuff. I mean, shoot, I could be talking to you and you could say something and I'll go, man, that'd be a cool song. You know, you just never know when it's going to hit, or you might think of something or see something. It's kind of just totally sporadic or random, but, I don't really write on the road. Usually I try to keep everything separate just because it keeps it where it's not, you don't get too like burn out on one thing, you know?
Got it. Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's funny. We had another really cool musical guest on the past on lead singer of Train, Pat Monahan.
Oh yeah.
And
that's awesome.
He talked about an interesting songwriting moment where he wrote a song in his newest album called Betting on Me. And it was about a game of Wolf on the golf course he was playing.
Really?
Have you ever gotten inspiration on the golf course for a lyric or a song at all?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I have. Yeah. I can't necessarily pinpoint an exact like title or anything, but yeah, I'm sure I have.
I was just curious. That always stuck out to me. I was wondering if things flow through your brain on the 10th tee for some reason.
Yeah, I'm sure I have thought of some lines and stuff, yeah.
It's Mitch Rosell again joining us here. Check out his music, his website, YouTube as well, too, because you got some unbelievable visuals. We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to first talk about my favorite song that I heard was All I Need to See.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because when I heard that song, it reminded me about my wife.
Yeah.
And knowing that I'm completely comfortable being with her forever, and that really is all I need to see.
Yeah.
I'm guessing there was probably some sort of similar inspiration, but where'd that song come from?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That song, it was written about 2 months into dating my wife. And I didn't even know
That's
her
early.
That. Yeah, I didn't even know her that well yet. I wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to marry this girl yet. I mean, I thought it was a possibility, but as a songwriter, you're just really inspired when you're, you know, we have a joke in town. If one of our buddies is, you know, getting a new relationship or going through a divorce or whatever, it's like, hey man, you got time to write, you know, cause you know, they're going to be ready, primed
That's
with some good ideas. Yeah. They're all, amped, you know? And so I was in that mode and I just sat down one night by myself and wrote that song. And, I tell people it's one of my favorites, number one, because it's really done so well. And it was like my first single, but the main reason is because it was like prophecy. Like it became my life with my wife, and I didn't have any of those experiences yet.
Right.
But it's like we've lived those things now, and it's really cool.
Hey,
for
nice
me
early call by you on that. You felt that in your bones.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And let's get to what just came out as well too. You just had a really cool release and a really emotional video behind the song "Sun." I had to watch the video a couple times before I actually really listened to the song.
Yeah.
And heard the lyrics, because the video just struck me so much visually, but obviously that's telling the story of your father and finding your dad again. What was that process like creating that? I'm sure that it was very therapeutic in some aspect.
It was, right? Yeah. It was painful in a lot of ways, and it was very therapeutic in a lot of ways. I think I'd kind of just buried a lot of that stuff,
because
you know, it is painful. And when I had my first son, it's a love that's just, it's just undefinable. You know, it's just so deep. And I think it allowed me to kind of talk about a lot of those things that happened to me when I was a kid with my dad and him passing. And so it's just really a special song for me. It's my most personal and favorite song I've ever written, for sure. Very intimidating to put it out, because it's so exposing.
It's vulnerable.
And yeah, it's very vulnerable, and talks about how I lost my dad and what happened and how close we were and all those things. So but yeah, really, really proud of it though.
And the great part and the positive spin on this is the awesome side by sides you do of seeing the activities you do with your dad and now you do with your son. It's that full circle moment in life. Right?
Oh yeah, man, it really is. It's been really special for me just to even see those things, because I didn't realize it until I went back and watched. a lot of those home videos.
Like, they look identical too.
It's Oh, yeah.
Oh, you guys look just like each other.
Yeah.
Like
father, like yeah, pretty cool, man. Pretty cool.
MitroCell again joining us. Be sure to check out MitroCell.com. Mitch underscore Rosell on Instagram is where we'll follow him. Let's get to another really cool moment from your career, because every country music singer has the Opry as a landmark venue sure. Your debut there on hallowed ground in country music. What was that experience like for you?
Surreal. Again, surreal. Yeah. I mean, it would have been surreal even without the introduction that I got. I'm sure you saw that. But the Opry is a very special place. There's an energy in there. You know, I'm a big country music fan. I mean, I know the history of country music, and I appreciate it.
Country music to know the history of the Opry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I'm very, very sensitive to everything in that building, and just it's unbelievable walking through the halls and just seeing all the pictures and the history in this room, and obviously the circle is insane. I mean, I've had chances to step in it before, but I didn't want to until I was actually going to play. Yeah. And so that was pretty special. And then to have, you know, I was standing side stage about to be announced, and I was already, you know, emotional and just trying to kind of control myself. And then they announced Garth. He surprised me and came out and introduced me. And I almost completely lost it. I knew that if I lost it, I would never recover.
Yeah.
And so I was like, there's video of me.
The guy that lost it, of course.
Oh, forever, there's video of me. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm going, okay, whew, breathe, breathe. And I'm just like wiping my face. And I'm like, oh God, please do not. If it starts, I'll never be able to like get out a word. You know what I mean? Like it would be over. So yeah.
Very cool. I want to hear a little bit about, like golf scene in Nashville as well too. I know I see a lot of different country artists that play there in the area, but what's it like for you? Do you get out a lot in that area?
Yeah. You know, as much as I can, it's kind of sporadic, you know, if I'm on the road, I like with what I do, it's like, man, there can just be gauntlets of weeks where you don't even get to breathe. And there's a week maybe where you only have a couple of days that you're really busy. So you get play 3 days that week, or, and then the next week you don't play at all or whatever. So I try to get out as much as I can. It's my only hobby really. And you, when you have three kids and a career that I have, you can only have one hobby, probably barely can have that. But yeah, so it's anytime I get time and the weather's decent, I get out there.
I keep seeing a lot about this Troubadour. Have you played Troubadour before?
I have, yeah, a few times.
So that course is elite to me because I've seen some content out there. They've got like an elite snack shack. There's like fire pits all over the place. Just describe the vibe of that place for people who haven't been there before.
Yeah, so Discovery properties in general are all like that. They're great golf courses. But the story of those is definitely the hospitality, man. I mean, you go in these, you know, they have different names for them, but they're just comfort stations is basically what they are. And everything is just get what you want. There's no, you don't pay for any of it. It's all part of the membership, part of the fee. Yeah. But dude, it's like wall to wall to wall, anything you can think of, you know, food, snacks, ice cream, you know, liquor, beer.
So overwhelming. It's like, do I just take two or three
there's
things?
There's like five different types of water and
things. I don't know.
Fresh fruit and jerky and freaking, I mean, you name it, dude. It's in there. It's awesome.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's legit.
Very cool. In or out on Nashville hot chicken?
You know, it depends on where you go. Yep. Yeah. I'm in.
Places, what, Prince's,
Hattie B's? Yeah, Prince's, Hattie B's. Yeah. Those are some of the more like well-known. There's some other really good ones. And then for me, it's all about like the balance of, you know, not making them too, I've had some that were a little too like salty or a little too, you know, you just got to get the perfect amount of everything in there.
Yep.
And, I actually had some with waffles one time and that was really good.
Okay.
I'm always that sweet and hot, you know, it was pretty solid, man. Pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And we always end with our 19th hole question. So good segue. When you get in at the end of a long round of the course, you get into the clubhouse, what's your go-to order, your favorite meal and drink to order at the 19th hole?
Oh, dude. Man, probably just some grilled tenders and fruit. And then I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy as far as if I'm going to have a real drink or I'll have like a, you know, a Budweiser or something like that.
Some good healthy,
you know,
mix.
You got eat healthy and then have a drink or whatever, or just water, you know, depends on the day.
Love it. Awesome.
So, yeah.
Mitch, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life again. A pleasure listening to your music, getting to know you, and we'll be connecting down the line for sure.
Alex, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the time.
And we're back. Great chat there with Mitch. Great to hear him sharing those feelings about what it's like to hit the stage, especially really cool, at Garth Brooks. That's just crazy. And he's got that new single and video out for his song, Sun. Great to see that connection that you're making with family. Makes me think, too, you know, I just lost a couple family members in the last couple of years, and the connections that we have with them. And for me, a lot of it is golf, too. So it's how we connect with them and whatever we're doing and how we stay connect with them and remember them.
Definitely. And think about those earliest memories of your parents and grandparents introducing you to the game. Those are those are the memories that we hang by for our entire life. Those are our formative memories of the relationships we have with our family members. And it's cool hearing Mitch talk about that relationship with his dad and grandparents. And, you know, a lot more is coming where that creative mind came from. It's really going to be cool to follow Mitch and his career here. Obviously, he's going to be in store for much bigger and better things. But check out Mitch on YouTube if you're not already listening to his music. He's a great follow, and we'll have a chance to catch up with him again down the road for sure.
Yep. And if you want to watch that interview that Alex did, you can see it on our YouTube channel. The link is in the description of this podcast episode, so you can see it there. You can watch the episodes there too, though you won't see our faces. But you can listen to the episode.
Yeah, I think the people watching will be mostly female country music fans of this week's video. That's going to be my guess. I'm going to say there's not going to be too many people watching my face. That's just a random guess, though.
Okay. But you can also follow us on Instagram. Yep. COL Podcast is the official IG. Course of Life, Alex is Alex. I'm MWRINC. We're on Twitter. Alex is Course of Life 1, and I'm at MWRINC.
Yes, you
are. Make sure you give us a follow, subscribe to the podcast, to the podcast app you're using, and give us a rating, a couple stars, some thumbs up, you know, whatever. I'll take what I can get.
Love it. What's on your mind? I heard you were consuming an XFL product this past weekend. Is that right?
I was consuming the ESPN posts about the XFL. Yes. Every time it came up on my feed.
The biggest sporting event ever, they'll have you believe.
I swear to God, I was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and FX apparently, Mike. Running some promo and games for the XFL, which launched this past weekend. I watched the whole thing with The Rock and Danny Garcia. They got me all inspired, and I ended up watching about 10 or 15 minutes the entire weekend at a bar. I didn't see really too much, but yes, the XFL is officially underway. I can tell that you were just annoyed by the promo, so I take it you weren't watching much game action this past weekend.
No, I was not watching any of the XFL.
You didn't miss a lot. It's falling in line with a lot of the other second tier football leagues that we've seen in recent years. And we've run through them on the history of this podcast as well. We've run through the AFL. We've run through the USFL. We ran through the first XFL, and we're on the third one now. There's not a lot of scoring. So that's something they're going to need to change very soon. Because we need a lot more touchdowns to keep the general population entertained. So we'll see how desperate the fan base is by early ratings. But yes, the XFL is officially back on our TV screens.
Let's just real quick give a shout out to our Quinnipiac University Bobcats. The men's ice hockey teams clinched the Cleary Cup. It's best record in the regular season in the ECAC with our win over Brown. For some dumb reason, the USCHO rankings put us in second, even though we got the same number of first place votes as Minnesota.
They hate us. That's a conspiracy. But because
of total points, we got 3 total points less than Minnesota.
I was going to put my tinfoil hat on and yell bias and start, you know, posting conspiracy theories.
We were the number one team last week, but now we're the number two team, even though we swept the weekend.
I mean, everyone out there knows, regardless of what school you know or represent, this is that time for winter sports teams. These next 3, 4, or 5 weeks right here, like this is everything. So if you're in on college basketball or hockey, it's the time for your school to make it happen.
It is. It is indeed. But for now, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, our food segment to end every Course of Life podcast. Check out Always End with Food on Instagram for more of our food postings. We'll start with our Valentine's plans. Mine was a day after the fact. We went to the Cheesecake Factory, Mike, and I'd been doing pretty healthy low carb stuff. But I had an interview at the PGA show that got me inspired to mix more carbs in my life. And I've been dying to have a nice, big, juicy cheeseburger. And I got one at the Cheesecake Factory. So I had the loaded mac and cheese cheeseburger, you know, stuffed in there with all the fixings, plus a couple of fried mac and cheese balls. And like you would expect, it was cheesy and ooey and gooey and absolutely delicious.
Was the mac and cheese fried into the buns? Like, were the buns the mac and cheese, or was the mac and cheese like put on top of the burger and you still had the buns?
You know what? On top of the burger and you still had the buns. I think they probably could have done the former option if they were looking to be a little bit more friendly for the handheld audience. That didn't stop me. This is one of those burgers, I will say. About 90% of burgers I will pick up and eat whole as is. This is part of the 10% of burgers that I do the half cut for. I do the half cut with the Cheesecake Factory burgers. Yeah. They're ginormous. So
okay, yeah. Okay. We celebrated Valentine's Day on Saturday. Was what we did, and we made a reservation for a restaurant here in Savannah. We've been to before. We love them. We absolutely love them. However, as what has happened when we made a reservation at the same restaurant on New Year's Eve.
Oh no! I think you documented the original one.
Yeah, at least half the kitchen staff came down with COVID-like symptoms, and they shut it down.
Okay.
Rightfully so, protecting everyone in the kitchen and those not in the kitchen by just shutting it down. So once again, our reservation was canceled.
No, don't say it. No.
In the afternoon of Saturday of President's Day weekend, which here in Savannah, this was also book festival weekend. So there's a big book festival going on in town. And it was just like, good luck finding a reservation somewhere else.
Same reason, Mike?
Same reason, COVID.
Unbelievable. Wow. They need to switch up their policies at that restaurant. What's happening with these employees? They're just sharing everything together.
I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible. and I get it. It's luck that it just happened to happen to us twice. It actually turns out that at least when I talked to them in the restaurant, we were the second couple to have this happen. And they were very generous. They sent us a little something for the next time.
Oh, wow. They went further nice than a lot of restaurants would have. I'll just say that.
Yes. So we had to go somewhere else. We were able to get in somewhere else. We kind of went out for an early dinner and got in somewhere else. And then we went for dessert. I put a picture on my Instagram stories of this very huge piece of dark chocolate cake with strawberry icing. It's quite good.
Can't go wrong with that combo.
At Lulu's Chocolate Bar, which if you're in Savannah, don't go to any of the other dessert places. Go to Lulu's.
Good stuff. Nice free ad for Lulu's too. Love it. That was Always End With Food. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you lasted this long through the episode, you've got to be subscribed by now, right? I mean,
I would hope so.
And if you're not, this is that moment where you can just hit the subscribe button because the episode's not over. So you still have 10 or 15 seconds to navigate and click subscribe. We thank you for doing that, and we'll see you next week.